Happy Valentine's Day. You're listening to The Ramble Room.
I mean, that works and all, but we're not releasing it today, so.
Well,
don't know this was. By the time they listen to this.
It doesn't matter. They'll know this was recorded on Valentine's Day.
It sure was. We're getting a heart-shaped pizza.
Yeah.
Flown in from New Jersey.
No, we're not. It's from Jet's Pizza down the street.
It's coming in on a jet. Hi, guys. Listen, I've been to my fair share of Comic-Cons. or things that are like that. The first one I went to was Grand Rapids Comic Con. Met Kevin Sorbo. The next one I went to. Should I not admit that?
I mean, you can. He's not really the best, but yeah.
Well, the next one I went to was Steel City Con. Met Zachary Levi. Should I, you know, batting 100 here.
Yeah, not the best either.
So I've been to many a convention, and I've never ever, and I can promise this, kidnapped one of the celebrities that I've gone to said convention to meet. I've gone, taken a picture with William Shatner, and then I left. You know, I didn't like put a bag over his head, and he's not in our basement or anything like that. He's not. You just haven't seen him do anything recently because he's old.
I feel like it's also really weird for that to be done to an author, but.
Also that, never have I gone to a comic con to meet an author. Granted, I'm not going there for like the comic books, which are the authors that are usually at those kinds of things.
An author is usually going to be at like a book signing or something. Yeah. It's not going to be a comic con.
Like, I'd go to Barnes & Noble to meet Matthew Gray Gubler if he ever came to this town, but he hasn't, and so therefore I won't. But he's also an actor, so it's a little different. The movie we watched this week was Dadnapped from 2009, and why don't you give him a synopsis of the plot?
Okay, great. Melissa Morris is due for adventure when her novelist father goes missing.
That is not a great one-sentence pitch.
It's not, because he doesn't really go missing. He just gets kidnapped.
I did a better job of describing it with my own experiences.
Yeah.
I'll say the coolest person I met, Steve from Blue's Clues, without a doubt, hands down.
What about Judy Kuhn?
I loved her too. And I met Jodie Benson. Listen.
Yeah. Disney princesses, you can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong. But Steve brought out his personal crayon for me. Yeah.
That's cool.
And when I told him that he was my childhood crush, I said, I'm sure you hear that all the time. And he goes, no, I don't. And I said, cool. It's like, how embarrassing for me. Right?
That was nice and awkward. Yep. Now you just made everything awkward for him.
It's like, no, he loved it.
I had a crush on you when I was 3.
He told me he wanted to see my tattoo when I got it done. And I said, okay.
So I'll have to go back. Never saw him again.
I'll have to stalk him.
Okay.
Guys, I don't, when we watch this back, I did not remember the plot at all from being a kid, but I remember being a kid and liking the movie.
I did too as a kid, but I'm going to say this one actually isn't my favorite.
No.
I thought I was really going to enjoy it, but I now, like, there were a few things that I liked, but for the most part, I was like, okay, this was a little bit of a lackluster film.
Yeah, as far as, it feels like they tried to redo the magic they had with Read It and Weep, and it just didn't go over really well.
Yeah.
For me, because the guy who's like in her imagination, Trip Zoom or whatever.
Yes.
He's just annoying. Whereas like Iz in Read It and Weep is actually like moving the plot along because she's kind of the influence behind. What is the main character's name?
I do not remember.
Whatever her name is.
Yeah. What I do remember.
I don't know how to end that sentence. So I'm going to end it there.
What I do remember about this movie is that Melissa is the main character, played by Emily Osment, and her father is I think his name is George Newbern. I looked up the actor's name because we always call him Brian McKenzie from Father of the Bride, which is his character's name. And
I just call him Brett McKenzie.
No, his name is Brian.
Which is a different actor. Can I be 100% honest with
you? Anyway, he's the novelist, and he has written this book series
with Trip Zoom.
Trip Zoom being the main character.
It's like a spy.
Yeah. Like a sci-fi spy novel series. And Melissa is constantly feels like she's living in the shadow of this character. And she keeps hallucinating him, which she honestly should probably go see the doctor about, but she doesn't. She just accepts that he's there. like constantly making fun of her. He's like, you'll never be as cool as me, biatch. And he's really a nuisance. I mean, yeah. He doesn't need to be there.
He says it without saying that.
No, he definitely says that.
I will say, for as far as Disney Channel standards, this is a star-studded cast because we have Emily Osment. We have David Henry from Wizards of Waverly Place fame. We have Phil Lewis from Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, Sweet Life on Deck fame. We have Moises Arias from Hannah Montana fame. Obviously, Emily Osment, also from Hannah Montana fame. Who else is in this?
Jason Earls of Hannah Montana fame. I also, regarding the figment in her imagination of Trip Zoom, I said, I didn't realize we were watching Fight Club. You're the one who told me to write that down when I said it.
Oh, yeah, I did.
He said, hey, write that down.
I thought it was funny at the time.
Okay. As I said, Melissa feels like she's living in the shadow. I've been living with a shadow over a head.
Do you feel weird calling other people Melissa?
Sometimes. I mean, sometimes I'll get phone calls for my job and I'll say, this is Melissa, how can I help you? And then they go, oh, this is Melissa. There's always like a moment where they go, my name's Melissa.
Because that's never happened to me. So like, I don't have the experience. Like if I ever, even if I meet like an Ariana, it doesn't feel the same because that's not my name.
Yeah.
That's not my name.
All right. So Melissa's with her mother and we really only have her mother for like the very beginning of this movie.
And like a single phone call.
Yeah. She's very excited to hang out with her dad.
Because her parents are divorced.
Yes. And finally have some like one-on-one time with him because he's constantly writing or constantly busy with, you know, different conventions and things that he's going to. So she's ready to go on this camping
book
trip
signings,
with him.
Book signings, if you will.
Mm-hmm. So she goes on this camping trip and on their ride over, her dad's like, hey, let's stop at this convention for like a day or two and then we'll go camping, which pisses her off, understandably. Because what the fuck is he doing? It pisses me off, too.
He's prioritizing his career over his relationship with his daughter, which is messed up.
Yes. They get to the convention. She is still not happy about it. He also has a cardboard cutout of Trip Zoom.
That he's taking with him.
And the cardboard cutout keeps coming to life and talking to
which is when we started Melissa. To really get annoyed with him.
Yeah, because I was like, this is weird. And the freeze frame of the cardboard cutout going in and out from live action to freeze frame was weird. Jason Earls has huge hair in this.
Yeah.
He looks like the mayor from Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Jason Earls has been doing Disney Channel since he was 30 and has been playing 12-year-olds. And that
well, he's not 12 in
bit.
This.
No, I know, but I'm just saying it freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah.
He's been playing way younger than he is, and I think it's because he's a short king, and that's the only reason.
Yeah, probably. Then we are introduced to Wheeze, who is played by David Henry.
Oh, Lord.
He and his two buddies.
My Chemical Romance band.
he and his buddies are huge fans.
Of Trip Zoom.
Of Trip
now,
Zoom.
Now, I will say, at this convention, there is a competition
mm-hmm.
to basically become a character in the next Trip Zoom book.
And they have to have, like, the best invention, right?
Yeah, they have to, like,
gadget or whatever.
Mimic an invention
from a previous novel.
The novel.
That's right. So their goal is that they're going to kidnap, what's the dad's name?
Just call him Brian.
Okay, we're just going to call him Brian because he's Brian McKenzie to us.
Always and forever.
Their goal is like, we're going to kidnap Brian and simulate a scene from his novel showing several different gadgets and inventions and really impress him. So that's kind of their plan. He also runs into Melissa. And they have this weird little moment where she's like, I love Word Wham or whatever the fuck they play.
Yeah. I think it is called Word Wham.
It's almost like Mad Libs, I would guess, or something
or
like
Scrabble.
That. Yeah, something like
because
a game.
Because they talk about a triple letter or something.
Yeah, and they both bond over that. And then they have this weird, like, okay, goodbye. But they, you know, clearly are interested in each other, I guess.
It's a weird flirtation ship.
Yeah, it was strange, but it's fine. Melissa ends up calling her mother, but I swear she calls her mother Deb, which then had me asking all kinds
play,
of questions.
Play it. See.
Well, I have it on mute. Look at this
boy. Do you have the subtitles on? She did.
That's what I'm saying. She calls her mother Deb, and then I'm like, okay. Is she on, like, a first-name basis with her parents? Anyway, that was weird. And we cut to the boys getting ready to kidnap Brian McKenzie. That's what
we were missing. We were missing an actor from High School Musical to really just send this movie home.
Yeah. And the way that they kidnap him is they pump onion smell into the entire convention center. And everyone's like crying and running away at the end. Because that is really a disgusting smell. Yeah,
they can't see.
They can't see anything. There's also a policeman.
That's the thing. It's not that it's disgusting. It's that they're
onion they're smell crying, is disgusting.
But it's that they're crying.
Well, yeah. But it's still a gross smell. Raw onion? Pumped into vents?
It's not, I wouldn't say it's gross. I'd say it's pungent. It's just strong.
Okay.
But a freshly chopped one does not smell like that.
Pumped through a vent? It might. I guess we'll have to try it.
We're not trying that.
Well, anyway, they get everyone to evacuate the building. They kidnap Brian McKenzie. And then Melissa's like, where the fuck is my dad? And she sees that there's security cameras. So she looks at those with Jason Earls. We're calling them by, I don't know their character's name except for Melissa. So.
Yeah. Not a clue. So, I couldn't even venture a guess, to be honest.
She takes a look at security and she sees those boys have kidnapped her father. And she's like, what the hell?
Or so, dadnapped, if you will.
Yeah, dadnapped. So then Jason is like, I will help you get in my car. And she gets into this stranger's car. Really smart, Melissa.
She's going to be kidnapped.
Yeah, she'll be kidnapped while her dad is dadnapped. Maurice and Skunk are these other characters who are technically like the actual bad guys who are actually legitimately wanting to kidnap Brian and force him to write. Is it write a novel?
It's so Skunk has written a novel.
And he wants him to like edit it or review it and yeah. give him good ideas.
Because he basically hasn't been able to sell his novel.
His novel, okay.
And
yeah.
Brian McKenzie's like, yeah, of course you haven't. This novel's trash. Spoiler
alert. So they're also tracking the kids and Brian trying to steal him from them. So then the boys are explaining to Brian what's happening. Meanwhile, Melissa and Jason are following them to a car wash.
Car wash.
They end up escaping. The boys and Brian end up leaving before they catch him.
Yep.
Or them. And at that point, I feel like Brian is like on board. He's like, okay, cool. Show me what other inventions you have. Like, he's just down with it.
Yeah. They basically say, we'll let you go if you show us how to, if you do one thing.
Okay. Yeah.
They end up driving to a library and they basically want to see how they make like an ink bomb or something.
Yeah.
Go off in
a book.
It's
just a reason to get people to be messy on Disney Channel again.
Because Disney and Nickelodeon had this thing with goo.
Or just mess. They just like mess. People having food thrown on them, having paint thrown on them.
And I'm trying to remember as a kid, did I enjoy watching scenes like that?
I don't think I did. I feel like it was gratuitous even then.
Unless it was the Spider-Man, you know, Tobey Maguire situation. I don't think I cared.
What do you mean?
The lunchroom.
Well, nothing happens in the lunchroom.
Yes, it does.
He catches all the food.
He smacks it on the back
of Flash's. Oh, you mean the tray. Oh, yeah, I got you.
There's food on that tray. He gets like purple yogurt down his back.
I got you. Well, Melissa and Jason have the car seemingly parked at the car wash, but somehow it's in neutral and it goes up on a hill in neutral.
One of the kids does that.
Oh, I missed that. Okay. So one of the boys puts it into
because
neutral instead
David
of park.
David Henry's character, Wheeze, is that his name?
Yeah, Wheeze.
Wheeze, was it? He sees. He sees.
At your Wheeze, sir. My good sir, Wheeze.
Sir Wheeze of the Six Colonies. Okay. Anyway, so Wheeze.
It's a stupid name. Okay, continue.
Wheezy from Toy Story. He sees
I feel
Emily.
A song coming on. My favorite character.
Okay. Okay. He sees Emily Osment, Melissa, if you will, there. And he's like, ah, crap, like she's caught on to us. Right?
I think so. But they're trying to like go without being noticed and then
stall
them.
At that point, they know that it's his daughter. Yeah.
And then they stall them by putting the car into neutral instead of park.
Yeah. One of them, I think, I don't remember. Not Moises, the other one, I think. Does like puts the car in neutral mm-hmm. and pushes it, and then Jason Earls, who's on the phone, turns around and sees the car.
Yeah, and it's going into the car wash.
He's like, stop the car! So he jumps on the back. Melissa jumps in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go through the car wash. It's a nice little Cinderella story moment.
Yeah, but and they come out of soap. The convertible covered in a shit ton of soap.
Which, here's my question. How is that possible?
I don't know. Where was the attendant guiding the car into the wash? Correct.
Where's the attendant, firstly? Secondly, when you come out of a car wash, your car is not still wet.
It's rinsed.
Yeah. It's not. It doesn't have a ton of soap still on it. But the whole car, not just the inside of the car, had soap and water on it.
But it was mostly foam. Which, it would be soapy water. That's what, it'd be like flooded with soapy water.
Jets. It's gotta be ours.
Wow, that's here early. Okay.
Guys, our heart-shaped pizza's here. Hang on.
You're listening to the sweet sounds of our cat, Pacey.
I thought you were gonna say of our cat pissing.
Of our cat pissing in the litter box as he purrs delightfully. Okay, so we came back from our pizza break. It was delicious.
It was delicious. It was in the shape of a hat. We had wine. It wasn't good. It was $8 at the N.W., so what are you going to do about it?
Absolutely what did you nothing. Expect?
It was a rosé Sauvignon. What do you want?
Okay, so...
So anyway, Jason Rolls is in this. Where were we?
Anyway, so yes, Melissa and Jason leave the car wash. Eventually, for some reason, Jason's clothes are ripped off. It's weird. And then they get to the library. They track the boys and Brian down to the library. And that is where we discover Brian has come up with his goo explosion trap. And for some reason, Melissa opens the book that her dad had set there. And I'm like, you and I were both like, why would she open that when she knows who her dad is? It was weird. It was weird that she fell for the trap. But anyway, she's all messy, and then she's pissed off. She's saying, Dad, let's get the fuck out of here. I need to go clean off. And then when they exit the library, her hair is, like, magically dry from the car wash. It just seems like she looks a little too cleaned up.
Well, she's... Yeah.
Okay.
She got that purple goo all over her, and she's like, I have to go wash this off my face. And then she comes out of the
it was very the quick.
Library with completely dry hair.
Yeah, I don't know. She looked too put together after that library incident.
Is that how you say library? Library?
You just said library.
I'm saying, is that how you say library?
Yeah, library.
The way you said it, it sounded like you said library again.
Library.
There. Try it one more time.
Library.
No. The full sentence.
I said library the last time, and you fucking stopped me. Maurice and Skunk have found them as well, and they're
these
like...
These names are ridiculous.
They are. Wheeze and Skunk and Maurice and mm-hmm. Melissa. What a weird fucking name, you know?
Remember when you used to call me Maurice?
Yeah. Shout out, Molly. Molly will know. But they catch up to them. And as Melissa and her father are leaving the library, they get stopped by Maurice and Skunk, who are impersonating police officers or, like, sheriffs. I don't know. They don't exactly have police badges. But they then kidnap Melissa and the father, Brian. The boys end up realizing that they've been taken. So they call the police.
So they call the police and they say, I don't know how.
I don't know when, and I don't know how, but I will find you, and
I will kill you.
The policeman had gotten calls earlier about Brian being kidnapped, but he wasn't taking them seriously, because I guess people from that convention were continuing to call about false alarms or things that weren't actually happening, because I guess all of them were having delusions of grandeur. Well, Melissa called earlier, and he was like, I don't believe you. So now she and her father are kidnapped, and the boys call the policeman, and the same guy's like, I don't believe you. So they are like, we have to take it in on...
We have to take it up the ass.
Wait, what's the right phrase? We have to take it upon ourselves?
Yeah.
We have to take it upon ourselves to save
them.
What
did you think the phrase was.
I don't know. That's why my brain was like, that sounds weird. Take it upon ourselves. That's the right phrase, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have to take it upon ourselves to save them. So they end up tracking Maurice and Skunk's yellow truck that they've kidnapped them in. They eventually get to this, like, is it a motel that they're at?
Motel, holiday inn.
Yeah.
I think it's a motel. It looks like one, but it's also very decorated.
They've probably been living in out of a motel.
Oh, wait, is it a trailer park?
Could be.
I think it is because it says Motor View, and I'm thinking maybe they just have a trailer there. Either way, it's like some decorated office room that they're in, and this is where we find out that Skunk has kidnapped them to help him write a better book.
Yeah. Hello, my name is Joseph Drede, but you can just call me Drede.
And I'm Trudy.
And you're listening to QVC, HSN, NBC, ABC, DFJ. Now today, I have a wonderful product fresh off the market for you and your family and your friends. Would you like to know what it is?
And your lovers.
Oh, yes. It is the day of love. It is Valentine's Day, and Trudy has boyfriend Fred now.
So don't tell them that. We're not official. We're not putting labels on anything.
He told me that you
That's
were
not
close.
My style, and he knows that.
Yes, but it is his style.
Well, that's fine, but it's not mine, and he knows that. So he better not be putting anything on his social media.
He doesn't have social media.
It not is what that you know of.
Well, it is secret. Do not go to Facebook and look up Fred. Don't do it.
Yeah, you'll find about 80,000 results.
It is not worth it.
Okay, so what is the product?
It is chocolate-covered strawberries.
Okay. That sounds delicious. What the fuck are we selling those for? We're selling them fresh? What are we doing? Yes. We're making edible arrangements now, Trudy? Who's doing this shit? Who's organizing that in our warehouse? How is that even being stored?
That is job for warehouse people. I don't
know. Oh my god, who's in charge of the distribution center?
I will say these are only going to be available in 6 states.
What? Only 6 states?
Yes, because we don't have warehouses in every state.
And 4 of those are provinces.
You really cracked yourself up with that one, right there. So if you live in Hawaii...
One of them is a state of mind. You get it?
Anyway, if you live in Hawaii, Nebraska, Michigan, and Florida...
Those are so far spread out.
Florida and Maine.
I thought it was just going to be regional. I didn't realize it was far spread out across the country.
I said 5 states.
So you said 6.
I did? Oh.
Yeah, you said 6.
Okay, so if you live in... What did I say?
I don't know anymore.
And on Nebraska, California, Hawaii...
Florida?
Colorado, Michigan...
You said Florida.
And Maine.
You said Florida. Now they're going to expect it to go to Florida.
Okay. If you live in Florida, Nebraska...
You can't just change it. Clearly you have a policy.
I'm Russian. English is my second language.
That's not an excuse.
I forget Florida and California. I get mixed up. They sound similar. California and Florida sound the same in my head.
Yeah, I love to go to California.
See, what did you just say?
California.
Did you say California?
I also love to go to Flornia.
What is that?
According to you, it's California. Okay, listen. Florida. That is the weirdest policy. Florida. Who told you that Nebraska. That was only allowed to go to 6 states?
We only have...
What? You said 6 states? All across the country. What is the reason for that? It's not regional? Like, if it was this northeastern U.S., then that would make sense.
We live because we only...
That doesn't make any... Hawaii? Why didn't you just take her to Alaska then? You might as well.
We only have... warehouses in those 6 states that will host these items.
We have more than one warehouse?
You're dating the one of the guys that is in charge of all of that crap.
No. He's in charge of the product information.
Yes, meaning that he's communicating with the warehouses, you doofus.
Well, he didn't tell me about any of this. I was convinced there was one location.
I'm gonna be honest with you. Do you think that he tells you that on your date he wants to talk work all the time? No.
Well, I don't care. At least he could have mentioned it.
That is a problem for you and yours in your home.
Yeah, clearly it's a personal issue that I gotta take care of after this. Now,
don't take care of it like you took care of it last time.
Listen to me. I'm past that phase, Trudy. We've talked about this.
She's been to counseling.
After the court orders and the fines and the community service, I'm done.
Rehabilitated.
Yeah, totally. And so, okay, how much are these? Is this coming in a bouquet? Is it just a box?
Boxes.
Just a cardboard box.
Boxes.
No insulation.
Boxes.
So they're just going to arrive melted.
Boxes.
Melted, rotted, molded strawberries arriving in Hawaii.
That is why it only is in those 6 states, because we have warehouses there, so it will come to you fresh.
So what, you got some fucking lady named Debbie just driving her Volvo around from the warehouse?
Debbie's the one in Nebraska, yes.
In Nebraska, there's a woman named Debbie who's driving around in her Volvo that she picks up her kids in with the baby baby car seats in the back, rattling around as she takes strawberries around town.
I don't presume to know her family situation, okay? But I tell
I just told you that's
Nebraska,
a family situation.
In Debbie, okay, if you live in Nebraska, Debbie's your girl. If you live in Florida, Tom is your guy. If you live
That seems wrong. I don't think Tom would live in Florida.
Tom lives in Florida. In Florida. If you are in Hawaii, Juniper is your girly. If you live in Michigan, we'll hand deliver it if you win a prize. And if you
I thought you were going to say someone named Wilhelm lives in Michigan who is going to deliver it.
No, Wilhelm is in Maine.
There's no way there's a Wilhelm.
Yes,
there's a Wilhelm, there's a Wayhelm.
We call him Willie. But we never,
no, you nobody, don't.
None of us ever call him Wilhelm. We call him Willie. So if you live in Maine, Will is your guy. And what was the other state? Oh, Colorado? There's a whole bunch of people that could help you in there.
Yeah, probably. They'll deliver Brad, it there. Chuck, Lewis.
Sandra? Barbara.
What the fuck is Sandra and Barbara from the 1940s doing in Colorado?
Okay, there are people named Sandra and Barbara that are not from the 1940s.
No, there's
give
not.
You Sandra Bullock.
When was the last time you came across a Barbara who wasn't born in the 40s?
Was that the tum-tum?
Who did you come across a Sandra that wasn't born in the 40s? Who?
A Barbara. Who? I used to work with a Barbara.
And how old was she?
She was 40. Not born in the 40s, but she was 40 years old.
I feel you'd be hard-pressed to find someone named Barbara Sandra right
Sandra
now.
Bullock!
And how old is she?
Barbara Streisand!
And how
They're
old is she?
They're not from the 1940s, you freak!
Well, still.
Anyway, I'm starting to lose my accent, so I think that means that it is time to go back to the podcast. You can buy these for $29.99 with $6,000 shipping.
Oh. It's being hand-delivered. I mean, yeah, I guess.
And if you don't tip any of our people, there's something wrong with you.
No, we have a different policy if you don't tip. But we're not allowed to say it for legal reasons.
Correct. But just know.
Maybe you'll lose a finger.
It's in the fine print.
Metaphorically.
When you go to our website, drudy.trudy.shop.
Maybe a toe. Metaphorically. Just a hypothetical. You could think about that.
Or, you know.
Maybe you'll never be able to eat a strawberry again.
It's possible.
Let's go back to the podcast. There's a great scene that happens after the dad is kind of agreeing, I guess, because he's being threatened. So he's just kind of like, okay, sure, I'll help you write your fucking story. So he's hard at work and Melissa comes into the room and she's complaining about how she can't live up to Trip, that it feels like he's always come first before her. And she's talking about how she can't live up to how great Trip Zoom is. So that's why her dad wants to essentially spend more time with this book character than with his own daughter. And he's kind of talking about Trip Zoom and he's like, well, he's got 3 degrees and he's, you know, has 10 medals in physiology or whatever it is. I don't fucking know.
And then Melissa says, okay, well, what are my interests? What do you know about me? Almost like, you know more about Trip Zoom than you do me. And he can't really answer that. And, you know, she's crying. And then she says, when was the last time you went to one of my dance recitals? And she says, she won a writing contest. And he was like, you won a writing contest? That's great. And
2 years in a row in middle school.
Yeah, she's like, 2 years in a row. And so then the scene ends kind of there. Also during that conversation, she's talking about a plan that she's made up to try and get them out of there. And her dad says, I don't want you risking your life, you know, potentially on this plan. And she says, oh, so it's just like, you know, a silly little plan because your daughter made it up rather than Trip Zoom. Again, with the comparison of feeling like she's not good enough. So her plan, I think her plan is to say she needs to go to the bathroom, right? And then
something like that, yeah.
Skunk like takes her to the bathroom. And she ends up leaving a note in the bathroom that the boys end up finding.
I think she just leaves a page of Trip Zoom to let them know that they're there. Oh, she circled the word presidential because they're in the presidential suite?
Oh, but it's the hotel that they were originally at.
Oh, because they're bringing them there.
Okay. So she leaves a page from Trip Zoom and circles the word presidential.
Yes.
Wheeze is like, what does that mean? And then Moises, we don't know the characters' names. Moises ends up figuring it out, being like, oh, they're in the presidential suite.
His name's probably Waz.
Wheeze and Waz. Back at the Merc Hotel that they were originally staying in for the convention.
Yeah. So, plot twist, though.
Yeah.
The owner of the Merc Hotel, a.k.a. Jason Earls, is the bad guy. And to be completely and 100% transparent with you. That's the only thing about this movie I remembered. Because when he showed up, I said, I'm pretty sure he's bad.
Well, he ends up, he's also against Maurice and Skunk, even though it seems that they were working for him.
Yeah.
Because his idea is that he would steal Brian's book.
Skunk's book.
But it's technically... The idea is that Brian will help Skunk write this book, and then Merv, I just remembered, Jason Earl's Merv character from is the Merv. Merc. Yeah, Merv from Merc.
Stupid.
Jason.
They changed one letter and said, that's good.
Jason's plan is to slap his name on it and make it, you know, make money off of it. So then they're back in the hotel in the presidential suite that is terribly decorated.
Emily keeps leaving fucking clues like she's blue.
But at some point, that conversation with her dad happens,
she's
right?
She's talking a Trip.
So Melissa's talking to her hallucination Trip. And
she's
coming
tripping
up.
And Trip.
Tripping with Trip. And she's coming up with like some ideas to try and get them out of this. The boys are trying to figure out how to get them out of the suite, I guess.
They're trying to figure out how to save them, I guess.
And at the same time, Skunk is trying to, like, finish the book, but also realizes how wrong they were. And then the boys come up with... Whenever I say the boys, it makes me think of the show. The show The Boys. But Wheeze and the boys, they come up with this plan to rally up the convention center goers, all the fans of Brian. And they're all going to crowd around the outside of the presidential suite. And they will, like, throw a bunch of slime at them. Wait, but isn't there, like, a catchphrase of Trip Zooms?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. What was it? Flesh?
Flesh?
Flash?
Flush.
Flush.
Is it?
Floss!
Floss! Okay, yes. His
please,
catchphrase...
Please keep all of that in.
I will.
Flesh. Flash?
It's floss.
Oh.
And they end up throwing all this shit at them. Before that, Melissa and her dad are having a conversation. And he's talking about all of the ideas, where characters come from, and all of his inspiration was born out of him having a daughter. Like, she is his inspiration. Mm-hmm. Even if she's not exactly like this character, that's who inspired him, is his daughter. Which I think is very sweet. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important that he tells her that.
He basically tells her that she's the heart of the books. He doesn't basically. He does tell her that she's the heart of the books.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. The plot of Merv being the bad guy to Skunk and Maurice is not revealed until later, towards the end. So Merv
admits to the fact that he is not planning on putting Skunk's name on this story, that it's going to be under his name and he'll be able to sell the manuscript. Oh, just kidding.
He wants to sell it as Neil Morris, which is apparently Brian's name.
We're calling him Brian, though.
He wants to basically have... Here's his plan.
Because the profit of like it being his last book, obviously, it would be like, it's kind of like, oh, this is our last tour. So everyone's like, well, we got to go see them now or we never will. You know?
Here's the thing. He's saying he wants to kill him?
I think so. I think he's admitting that he wants to murder the dad.
So Merv basically wants to kill Brian after he finishes writing this book so that he has the last Neil Morris book ever written.
Anyway, so then Maurice and Skunk are like, what the fuck? And they turn on him.
What the hell?
Which, if I'm being honest, so because now they're not technically, they are accomplices in kidnapping these people, they will face jail time if they don't help out Merv.
You would know.
I would know. So then we're kind of stuck in this situation where the two henchmen don't actually want to be doing this, but they feel like they have to avoid jail. And then outside, we have the boys coming up with their plan to throw a bunch of fucking slime at their window. Honestly, I don't understand. Like, I guess it accomplishes making Jason messy.
I guess.
But, like, what does that do? How does that distract from the fact that...
He was trying to kill him? I don't know.
I don't know. I guess what it does is it distracts him enough to let Melissa and Brian escape.
I guess.
That's what I gleaned from this.
I'm going to be honest, they lost me at the end, so...
Yeah, and then also towards the end, we have maybe one or two moments in which Wheeze clearly is interested in Melissa. He's like, oh, her watermelon-flavored lip gloss, I can smell it on this page, which is kind of creepy.
Extremely creepy.
And then, like, later, they're in a stairwell and they end up holding hands or something. And then Moises says something like, they're in the holding hands phase. And honestly, I don't feel like it was earned. They didn't spend enough time with each other for me to be like, I ship these two.
Yeah, they had the one word wham conversation, and then we were supposed to just be like, oh, okay.
After that, they just communicate through notes.
And you wonder why I'm confused when a man leads me on. Because by all accounts...
All it takes is a quick convo about word wham.
By Disney Channel standards, all I need is one conversation, and clearly he's into me.
Also,
not real.
Can I just say that the notes that she leaves behind, Moises is the one that appears to be mostly interpreting them. So technically, wouldn't he be the one that you would ship with her?
Correct.
If he's like, I understand your notes. Because the whole time, Moises is like, what do you think this means?
And and Waz is like,
Waz.
I don't know what his name is. But
Weez and Waz. And Wiz.
The Wiz.
Weasley Wizard Weezes. But yeah, so then it ends with what? What does this end with? I don't remember.
He basically awards the three boys. They win the competition. And I'm assuming Jason gets arrested, hopefully.
I think he does, because it looks like the police were there. Finally.
But they win, and Brian basically says he's going to put them in his book. And
okay.
Then David and Emily share a longing look in each other's eyes, and then she leaves.
But
she probably never sees Wheeze again. No. And you know what? That's for the best for her.
I think he says something like, if we ever, you know, because they technically live
in... ever in Houston, let me know.
Yeah, they live in completely different states, so it clearly wouldn't work.
Yeah.
But he's insinuating that he'd like to take her out sometime or something like that. I don't know. It's weird. I feel like... It wasn't earned. It didn't pay off. And I did not ship it.
Long distance in high school feels way worse than long distance as an adult. And long distance as an adult is hard. So
yeah,
they definitely, you know, we should start doing that with the couples in these. Because Melissa and I once went through and like through all of Hilary Duff's movies.
And decided and whether like, they'd still be together or not.
They definitely got married. They're not together anymore. We should start doing that with these. These two, not together.
No way.
I don't think they even talked again.
No.
Because 2009 was this... It wasn't pre, like, Facebook, but it was pre, like, big social media.
There's
Maybe they connected years later after they were already married and had kids on social media, but probably not because she doesn't even know his government name.
Probably not.
She knows him by Wheeze.
Yeah, I can't possibly be his name.
Facebook.
That can't possibly be his name.
Anyway.
Okay, what's your moral of the story?
My moral of the story is prioritizing people over things, even if it's your job or monetary value or...
Your children should be important.
Yeah, like children and human interaction should be more important than fictional characters,
mm-hmm.
speaking from experience. And not like that I put fictional characters ahead of you.
I do. I put fictional characters right. ahead of you.
Well, and I'll be praying for you.
Okay.
Morrow, you're part of the pastries. So I'd say, yeah, my moral of the story is putting people above things regardless of the thing.
Yeah.
Like nothing is better than human interaction.
Yeah.
And like treating people with respect, especially your own children.
Well, yeah, there's a whole idea of like you once you have kids, they your should life be your
becomes,
priority.
Right. Like I feel like your life can eventually becomes more of your own when they're older. Like,
but that's also why it's
when they're adults. But when you have a teenager and younger,
but that's why people say, like, you know, it's smarter to wait to have kids and, you know, get your career first at, you know, driven mind when you're young. And like,
I feel
I don't
like
know.
Brian's character, well, it's fine that he's a flawed character because we need more flawed characters that you still like, because that's what people are.
Yeah, I think he has like he's an interesting character where he does love his daughter, obviously, but he just keeps fucking up. He can't get it right.
Yeah. Yeah. But I also don't think that he's young by any standards either.
No.
So like him,
he's been an author for but that's the whole thing is like maybe it's that he's had his career first mind too long that when he had his kid
it was hard to get out of that, which is why he ended up divorced.
Yeah, probably.
What's your moral of the story?
Don't get into a car with a strange hotel manager
Amen.
To find your dad.
That was weird.
That was really weird choice on her end. In
also,
2009.
If you're a cop in a small town, maybe even if it is a prank call, maybe take those calls seriously.
Yeah, like what else was he doing? Playing with rubber bands all day?
He was cleaning his office the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
For me, I was like...
Honestly, not shocking.
That's probably why she got in the car with the strange man.
Probably.
So, if you don't want more crime, do your job.
Bye.
You know, I used to hear a voice that said, trouble's coming, better stay in bed. Then I even tried to run away, 'cause I didn't even know.